Okay, Shalom uvracha to everybody again. Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Welcome back to our Shemir Salashim class learning. We'll begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur. Ribono Shel Olam Yiratzu Lefanecha Al Rachum V'Chanan Shetzakeni Hayom V'Chol Yom Lishmar Piyul Lashoni Milashan Har Rechilus Lazar Miladabar Fila Al Yishyachi V'Kosh Kein Al Kaiso Olo Chelik Mechay V'Kosh Kein Misraim Al Midosu Shal Kosh Baruch Hu Lazar Miladabar Devei Shaker Chanufa Mecholkes Kas Gaiva Onas Dvarim Halbanas Padam Leitzaz V'Chol Dibur Asur Zakim Shel Dabar Kim Dabar Hatzarich Li'inani Gufi V'Nah As always, we are learning the Zecher Nishmasim and the Yiluy Nishmasim, Tzvi Gershon, Al Vashon Ben Yoel Vechana, and Zev Lof Ben Yishai, Al Vashon both Neshama Shav Aliyos, and Zechiros Latova, and the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share. As well as a schuss for a full shema for Bracha Vigayab, as Racha Gitta, Pesach She'ar Kalei Yisrael, as we mark 6 months, more than 180 days and 6 months since October the 7th for all of the thousands of kedoshim shemasu nafsham al kiddush Hashem Hashem yikom damam, and we daven fervently that the hostages who are still being held in captivity hamakom yirachim aleim v'yotzei mitzala livracha me'feila the ora. We talk about the or gadol v'noma lefarav shua chadasha l'luka amel haseder. They should be so zocha ba'azur Hashem to the immediate Yeshua and the immediate Geula. The Korah will be aminu mamish mamish. All right, let's get into our learning. Parashas Tazria. So it is an annual review and a reminder of the power of the spoken word and the dangers of the spoken word. Parashas Tazria begins in Perek Yud Beis, just 8 psukim that deal with the Tumas Hayoladas, the ritual impurity that results to a woman after giving childbirth, different length of time for if she gives birth to a boy, she gives birth to a girl. The mitzvah bris milah is in this week's parasha, b'yamashmini yimal basar aloh, so perek yud beis pasuk gimel. But the main topic of parashas Tazria, which really goes hand in hand with mitzvah, is the spiritual affliction and the biblical affliction of tzaras. Every year, I note that tzaras is not a physical illness, it's not a bacteria, and it's not a virus. Tzaras is a spiritual illness that is a physical manifestation. The Gemara tells us very clearly in Maseches Arachin, in Arachin Tazayin Aleph, the Gemara tells us very, very clearly that there are 7 sins that cause tzaras, and each of these sins represents a spiritual failing on behalf of the sinful person. Kosh Baruch Hu then sends a physical sign to warn the person that tzaras can appear on the walls of the home, could appear on the garments of the person, and finally it could appear on the person themselves if they don't get the message. It is not physically contagious like a bacteria or a virus. The person is not in isolation unless you catch the person's bad midos and you emulate their ra amaze. You are not going to get tzaras. It is a spiritual illness. A person is spiritually sick. So the Gemara tells us in Maseches Erechin Tazayin Amar Aleph, Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan / Rabbi Yonasan, depending on the Gersa, L'maisa, Al Shiva Dvarim Negoim Baim. Negoim, Negat Tzaras, comes because of 7 sins. What are they? Lashon Hara, and this is really Rashi's approach. If you learn through Tazria Mitzorah, Rashi and Chumash takes the approach that the Tzara'as comes primarily because of the sin of Lashon Hara. And the first sin the Gemara lists is Lashon Hara, Al Shfichus Damim, for murder. But since we know that Lashon Hara metaphysically is akin to murder, it is not a physical murder, it is an emotional, psychological, metaphysical murder. So Tzara'as comes for Shfichus Damim. Al Shvua Shav, also related to sins of speech, taking an oath in vain. Al Gilui Arayus, uncovering nakedness. With our words, we uncover nakedness. We reveal things that should not be revealed. We say things that should not be said. Al Gasus Aruach, for a haughty spirit. When a person thinks they are greater than everybody else, a haughty person, a narcissistic personality, a gaiva personality. So of course you're going to see the bad and speak to them because you're righteous and everyone else is wrong. If we see people as equal, as parallel, as good as we are because Hashem made us and Hashem made them, then of course I'm always going to speak the good. But if I see myself as elevated over everyone else, then I'm going to speak negative. Ala gazel, for theft, you steal a person's dignity. With wicked, evil words, we steal the dignity and the emotional well-being of another person. And finally, a tsarus eye, a narrow eye, a stingy eye. We look at people with such a stinginess of eye, that there's no room for positive speech. And the Pesukim tells very clearly in the middle of Perek Lamed Dalet of Kapitel Tehil, Mihi Isha Chafetz Chaim Ohev Yamim, who is the man who Chafetz Chaim desires life, Ohev Yamim, loves days, there Os Tov, one who sees the good. If you see the good, Mitzar Shan Chaber, Sesach Vadabar Mirma, so of course your tongue is going to be guarded from evil and your lips from deceit. You have nothing evil and deceitful to save, you only see the good. Mihi Isha Chafetz Chaim Ohev Yamim, Lir Os Tov. The question is, who is the man who desires life, who loves days? And the answer begins with the words, who sees the good. When a person sees the good, he'll only speak the good. And when a person sees the bad, unfortunately, he will speak the bad. So these are the seven afflictions, the seven sins, which lead to the Nega Tzaras. So Shuvit Dvarim Nega'im Ba'an, Allah Shun Harav, Al Shvi Chustamim, Val Shvua Shav, Al Gidei Arayis, Val Gassus Aruach, Val Hagezo, Val Tzaras Ha'ayim. It's interesting that the Tzaras is described as a Nega Tzaras, Nun Gimel Ayin, an affliction of Tzaras, a Nega Tzaras. And of course, I don't know who said this. This is not my word. Nega Tzaras. The same letters of Nega are the letters of Oneg, which means pleasure or delight. Nega is an affliction, and Oneg is pleasure or delight. What's the difference between the affliction and the pleasure or delight? Where you put your eye in. The only letter that moves in those words is the ayin. Listen, nega, nun, gimel, ayin, affliction. Oneg, ayin, nun, gimel, pleasure or delight. The nun and the gimel stay in the same order. They're not mixed up. In both cases, it's nun and gimel. The only letter that changes is the ayin. What does this come to teach us? When you change your I, we already quoted Tehillim, Kapitel Lamed Dalet, there it was tov. When you change the placement of your I, when you move from having a tsaros ayin, to an ayin rechava and an ayin tova, a good eye that sees people in a broad, forgiving, forgiven, happy fashion, then you will move from a life of nega, affliction, to a life of oneg, a life of pleasure. That the letter ayin is not just the letter ayin, the letter ayin is eye. It's even shaped like an eye. When you think of the letter ayin, it's actually shaped like an eye. It tells you that the difference between an oneg and a nega, a pleasure and an affliction, is where a person places their eye. And that's the lesson that the Gemara lists, this tsaros ayin. When a person's eye is so negative and stingy towards other people, then there is no pleasure in life. Not for them and not for the people who they live with. Because everything is negative and their speech ultimately will be negative. So let's look at a couple of psukim I'm going to screen share with you from the parasha. I prepared a few on the screen. So here we are. We are in Perek Yud Gimel. I just got my pointer, which I like to use for teaching. Okay, we are in Perek Yud Gimel. Parshas Tezria. All right. So the Pasuk tells us, okay, and by the way, this is a spiritual affliction. Only the Kohen can check. This is not checked by a doctor or a homeopathic medicine or a chiropractor or herbal medicine. It's not checked by any of those kind of people. Only a Kohen, which is further proof that this is a spiritual and not a physical illness. It was a physical illness, so you go to someone who can heal you physically. If it's a spiritual illness, you go to someone who can heal you spiritually. Who is that? The Kohen. So the Pesukim tell us, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Mem Dalet, Ish Tzaruah, who once the Kohen comes, they call the Kohen, and the Kohen is the only one who can declare it is Tzaras. Even if a person, Rashi tells us, Afilu Tamid Chacham, even a Tamid Chacham, who is sure that this is Negat Tzaras, he knows Kol HaTorah Kulo, he's Baki Bishas, and the entire Mishnah Torah, and he knows all the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't matter. If he's not a Kohen, he cannot declare, he could be the God Aldor. But if he's not the Kohen, he cannot declare it Tzaras, he's not responsible for the diagnosis or for the rehabilitation. So, now the Kohen comes, and the Kohen does his examination, and the Kohen declares that this person has Tzaras. Ish Tzaruah, who Tamehu, he is a man who has Tzaras, he is impure. Tamei Yitam Enu HaKohen Baruch Shidigo. The Kohen declares him impure, his affliction is on his head. Next Pasuk Mem Hei, V'Hatzuruah Sherbo HaNego. And the person who has Tzaras, who has the affliction, Begadav Yihiyu Frumim. His garments shall be torn. Look at Rashi. What does it mean? Begadav you frumim. His garments shall be torn. 1 second. I need to sneeze. Excuse me. Excuse me. Okay. Batzeruah sherbo nega. So what is the punishment for this person? It's very powerful that the punishment is he is like a mourner. Not like a mourner. Well, Rashi is ke'avel. He is a mourner. He's mourning for the calamity, the murder, with his words that he brought upon himself and the person he spoke about and the listener. The person who has the nega, we already spoke about nega and oneg, and where you place your ayin connected to the seven causes of tzaras listed by the Gemara, the last one being tzaras ayin. And the person who has the nega, the affliction, begad of you frumim. What does frumim mean? Look at Rashi over here. Kruim. He has to tear kriya. Kruim. Kriya. He tears his garments just like a mourner. Biroshu yeh parua. His head shall be parua. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. Migudal se'ar. He has to grow his hair. Just like a mourner is not allowed to take a haircut. This guy is to tear kriya. He has to grow his hair. V'al safam ya'ateh. He has to grow his facial hair. Rashi says ka'avel. Rashi Mama says he's like a mourner. He killed somebody. Only with words. Not with a sword. Not with a bomb. Not with a grenade. Chas v'sham l'leidu, all of these things, not with a knife, but he killed somebody. If this does not make us tremble from the power of our words, I don't know what will. The Torah is telling us that this person committed murder. He is ka'avel. He also has to tear kriya. He has to grow his hair. He has to grow a mustache. Val shafam ya'ata. What does that mean, says Rashi? Sa'aras v'sayim. The hair of his lips, which is what we call a mustache. And it's lesson. The mouth that was so open should have put a gate for itself. The hair over the lips, sa'ar hasfasayim, says Rashi, represents putting a gate over your mouth. The tamei tamei yikra, not only that, the pasuk says, tamei tamei yikra, look what Rashi says, mashmiyashu tamei v'yifrishu mimenu. Whenever somebody passes by, he calls out about himself, I am impure, I am impure. They should separate from him. So every part of this consequence and punishment is reflective of his sin. He tears kriya and he grows his hair because he caused murder. He is a murderer, a metaphysical, emotional, psychological, religious, and spiritual murderer. He grows a mustache as a reminder, sar hasfasayim. He should have put a gate over his lip. His mouth that was used to shame somebody else is now used to shame himself. The tamei tamei yikra. So that's the first pasuk. It's perik yud gimel pasuk mem hei. Batsurosh arbo nega bagado yavu frumim. We did this whole pasuk with Rashi. Veroshi aparua. Al shafam yate v'tamei tamei yikra. Not only that. Kol yimei asher nega bo yitamei tamei hu. All the days that the nega tzaras is upon him. He is impure. He is impure. Badad yeshay. Furthermore, he has to sit all by himself. And Rashi tells us, you see it on this side of the screen. Shalo yushar tmei miyoshim ima. Ma'amar Rabbi Seinu, ma'anish tana mishar tmei leshay badad. He can't even sit with other people who are impure. So maybe he should be with the Zav and the Zava. They're at the end of Perak Tazvav in Parshas Kmetzora. Tazvim and Metzora are really sister Parshios. At the end of Parshas Kmetzora, we learn about the ritual impurity of the Zav and the Zava, the man or the woman who has a certain mission, and their tummy. So maybe this guy should sit with those who are tummy the mace. Maybe he should sit with Tumas Zav and Zava. Maybe he should sit with the Tumas Hayoladas. There are many categories biblically of people who become tummy. Maybe he should sit with them. Maybe he should sit with a man who is a Balkari. Let them have a whole camp for people who are tummy. No, this guy is the Sipadot. And Rashi Taka asked, not my question, this is what Chazal asked, Rashi's quoting to Gemara. Ma nishtana mishart kmeim leshei bedad. Why is he different than any other impure person? He has to actually sit in solitary confinement and isolation. Since he caused a wedge, a divide, a separation with his lashon hara between man and wife, and between man and fellow man, he will be separated from society. So this is also a mida keneged mida. He can't sit with the zav, the zava, the tumas hayoledes, the baal keri, the tamei the meis. He can't sit with anybody. All by yourself. You divided people in society. You made people separate from one another. Your words did not allow people to live b'shalom in harmony with achdus, unity, oneness. You'll be separated from everybody else. But Dad Yeshev, he sits all alone. I was thinking to myself, I just noticed yesterday, I was learning with somebody yesterday, and I told her, I noticed something I never noticed before. But Dad is his punishment, and it is the gematria of 10. Beis is 2. Dalet is 4, that's 6, and another Dalet is 4. That's another, so it's 2 plus 4 plus 4, which equals 10. So I was thinking to myself that this person who spoke the Lashon Hara, who does not see the divine image in somebody else, it's as if he committed the sin of transgressing the Aseres HaDibros. He doesn't recognize the Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He does not recognize that there is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, otherwise he would never have done the sin. He does not say, Lo Tis Hashem Hashem Elokecha L'Shav. He's not careful with his words. Lo Yelecha L'Rim Echim Apanai. He made himself into, with his Gassus Ruch, he made himself into a God. He transgresses. He's over Lo Tirtzach. He's over Lo Tinach. We saw Gilead Rice is one of the causes. But Dad is the Gematria of 10, 2, 4, four based dalad dalad, that is 10. So perhaps it's an allusion to the fact this punishment is because he was over on the Aseres HaDibros, the great revelation at Sinai. If you don't see a Kodesh Baruch Hu in your life, you don't accept the Aseres HaDibros, you don't deserve to be part of the camp. So said all by himself, because he caused a divide with Lashon Hara between man and wife, between man and friend, he used to be divided from society. Michutz Machane Moshavo, is he allowed in the Machane Shechina? No. Machane Leviya? No. Machane Yisrael? No. Who wants to have anything to do with him? Nobody. Not Kodesh Baruch Hu and not Kal Yisrael. While she says, Chutz L'Shalosh Machanos, he has to sit outside of all three camps. So he's a very unique status as a Mitzorah. He's not allowed to sit with other people at all, even others who are impure, and he is not allowed to dwell within any of the three camps, complete isolation. So these are the psukim. We began in the Gemara Maseches Erechin. We spoke about Oneg and Nega, and where a person puts his ayin. We see these psukim from the pasuk, from the Chumash, with Rashi, understanding where everything is Mida Kenega, Mida, measure for measure for a sin. Furthermore, Badad is the Aseres HaDibros, because it's like this guy transgresses the Aseres HaDibros. Now we're going to go to a beautiful Medrash. Medrash Vayikra Rabbah 33:1. I just want to first show you a pasuk from Mishlei, famous pasuk, which I could tell you by heart, but I'm going to show it to you for yourself. Okay? It's in 18:21. Mishlei Yud Chas Chav Aleph. Maves v'chayim b'yad lashon. V'avel yochad priya. Maves v'chayim b'yad lashon. Medrash Vayikra Rabbah Parsha Lamed Gimel Simon Aleph is going to be discussing this pasuk. The pasuk tells us, Shlomo Melech in his wisdom says, Mavis v'chaim b'yad Hashem, death and life are in the hands of the tongue. We usually think death and life are in the hands of the sword. No, there's a different sword, says Shlomo Melech. It's even more powerful. And it's something that affects all of us every single day. Every person, whether you're a warrior on the battlefield holding a physical sword or not, we all have a different sword. Mavis v'chaim b'yad Hashem, death and life are in the hands of the tongue. And those who love her, those who love positive speech, and those who love life, will consume, will benefit from her fruits. So we have to ask ourselves, what am I benefiting from? Where am I casting my law? Or specifically, where am I casting my tongue? So I want to go to this medrash with you. I've taught part of this medrash before, but I never learned through and never taught the entire medrash. And that is what I did for this year, so we are going to learn through this together. You should be able to see on the screen. Excuse me. I'm in Medrash Vayikra, Balamed Gimel, Parsha Aleph. Okay. This is a pasuk from Parshas Bahar. Yeah. It's a pasuk from Parshas Bahar. Where the Torah warns us against onas dvarim, verbal oppression against our fellow. Again, part of this medrash I've taught, I never learned the beginning of the medrash. I never taught it, and I prepared it for this year. Okay, so it's new for me also. The medrash begins by quoting the pasuk from the Suga, Parshas Bahar, that warns you against verbal oppression of your fellow. So the pasuk says, V'chi simku mimkar la'amisecha. Hashem spoke to Moshe and Har Sinai saying, when you make a sale to your fellow or you make a purchase from the hand of your fellow, do not wrong one another. The Medrash does not quote the entire pasuk, but that's the psukim that the Medrash is based on. Okay? The full pasuk is, Hashem spoke to Moshe, when you make a sale to your fellow or when you make a purchase from the hand of your fellow, do not wrong one another. Okay? Lo sonu ish asamiso. That's the end of the pasuk. A person is not allowed to take advantage, afflict, or harm one another. Now, Rashi says in Chumash that we are talking about onas dvarim, verbal oppression. So, when it comes to business transactions, sales, it's forbidden to verbally oppress another person. It's also forbidden to financially oppress another person. So, Medrash here is going to speak about the tremendous power of words and what words can accomplish and what words can destroy. And this prohibition against verbal oppression. So here we go. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says, Ah, maves v'chayim biyad lashon. That's a pasuk I just showed you from Mishlei before we came to the Medrash. Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. Targum Akilas. This is very interesting. What is Akilas? So I'm just putting this on the screen to screen share with you. Here's my Medrash Rabba, Baruch Hashem. It's a beautiful set, the article Medrash Rabba, and it has footnotes. Targum Akilas. Akilas explains as follows. So this is so cool. Who is Akilas? Akilas, because now the Medrash quoted the Pasuk from Vayikra, okay? When you make a sale or a purchase, do not verbally harass your fellow. Medrash says, related to this is the Pasuk from Mishlei 18:21. Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. The Medrash now says, Targum Akilas. How did Akilas explain this? Ready? Who is Akilas? Akilas, according to some authorities, was a brother-in-law of the Caesar. He converted to Judaism in the year 104 Common Era and authored a Greek translation of the Torah. His name appears many times in the Medrash and in Talmud Yerushalmi. So he was a brother-in-law to the Caesar, and in the year 104 Common Era, he converted to Judaism. So that's about 34 to 35 years after Churban Beit HaMikdash. This Akilas converted to Judaism, and he authored a Greek translation of the Torah, and his name appears many times in the Medrash and Talmud Yerushalmi. I found that very interesting. Just a side point, very interesting. Targum Akilas. So how does Akilas render this verse? Okay, the Medrash is going to give us three different parables to teach us of the power of speech and the power of words. Mitz Tara Machirin Mavas Mikan V'chaya Mikan. So Targum Akilas says, what does it mean, death and life are in the hands of the tongue? Expanding on the Pasuk from Mishlei, what I just read to you is explained as a spoon and a knife. Death from here and life from here. Mitz Tara Machirin Mavas Mikan V'chaim Mikan. A spoon and a knife, death from here, life from here. That's the first parable to explain Mavis V'chaim B'yad Lashon. So the article footnote says, what does this mean? Okay, a spoon from here and a knife from here, a spoon and a knife, life from here, death from here. Our school footnote explains as follows. Translation is based on the Aruch, cited by Manas Kahuna, asserts that the Medrash refers to an implement that features a blade on one end, knife, and was shaped like a spoon on the other. So imagine in the middle there's a handle. Imagine you hold this end with a handle in the middle. Like a spatula. Imagine a spatula, okay? Or a wooden spoon that you use in the kitchen. Imagine a wooden spoon. That's even better. They use in the kitchen. So you're holding the handle of the wooden spoon. On one side you have the wooden spoon. The head of the spoon. The spoon. And on the other side you have a knife. A spoon from here. A knife from here. Life and death in the same end. So this is referring to an implement that Akila said that featured a blade on one end and was shaped like a spoon on the other. And this device enabled soldiers to eat and fight with the same implement. So it was, what's the word I'm looking for? Efficient. It was efficient for the battlefield. How much could you really carry around? How many pounds of gear do you have to carry around? So you have one implement. On one side, it's a spoon. So you eat from the stew that was cooked over the fire at base camp. On the other side, you have a knife. So when you got a battle, you have a sword. What does this have to do with speech? It should be obvious, by the way. Your tongue could either give life. A spoon gives you food, which gives you life. Your tongue could also bring death, which is the sword. Continues the article footnote. Man uses a spoon to eat life-giving food, but a sword to cause death. The tongue has within it both of these qualities. As the Gemara says in Maseches Erechin, the article footnote quotes the Gemara, one who wishes to do so can live through his tongue. And one who wishes to do so can die through his tongue. Rashi explains, learning Torah with the tongue grants man life, and speaking forbidden speech has the opposite effect. So this is Akilas' mashal to explain, Mavas V'chaim B'yad Lashon. Imagine your wooden spoon from your kitchen. On the one end you have a spoon, on the other end you have a blade. So it's very convenient for soldiers on the battlefield. But what is the nimshal to the tongue? The tongue can give life, like the spoon gives you food to give life. And the tongue can also give death, like the sword at the other end gives death. The same tool. Which one is it, life or death? It's up to you. What's your tongue? A tool of life or a tool of death? It's up to us. Next, Bar Sira Omar. Now, Bar Shira says differently. Hai shalafanav gachalas v'nafachba uva'ara. Rakak ba v'kavas. Bar Shira says a different parable. He had before him a coal. Gachalas ish. A coal, a burning coal. V'nafachba, when he blew on the coal, he caused it to ignite. He put air, oxygen into the coal, caused it to ignite. Rakakba, when he spit on the coal, yeah, spat upon it, v'chavas, it was extinguished. What is this? Nimshal, what does this teach us about our speech? Article footnote as follows. One can either do harm or good with his breath. So in this case, his breath blew on the coal, it gave life. He spat on the coal, it extinguished the coal. We can either use our breath to give life to somebody else, or we can to light the fire of their neshama, to compliment them, to build them up, or we can use our breath to spit upon somebody else. And they can be extinguished. Like the footnote says, thus one can either do harm or good with the breath of his mouth and the tongue that allows him to expel from the mouth. The Maharzu asserts a little bit differently, listen to this, that this call is a metaphor for a man who is angry at his fellow. This is a different pshat. The Maharzu explains the call represents the man who's angry at his fellow. A third person comes. Now you have the object of his anger. The coal represents the angry person. Now a third person comes. He can either blow upon the fire, i.e. causing the conflict to intensify by speaking negative words and egging on the person who's angry, or he can spit out, he can extinguish the machlokas by speaking quiet words that will quell the machlokas. To do the former, to inflame the machlokas by this third person, is to use the tongue for death. To do the latter, to spit out the machlokas, subside, put it out, quell the flames of the fire of strife, that is life. So that is the second mashal. Cause, hurtful words are so long-lasting. Even, it's true, and even if you forgive the person, you always remember what they said. Not the gedolim. They said Rav Chaim Kanievsky Zecher Tzadik Levracha was just as Yartzei 2 weeks ago. If he didn't need to know something, he never remembered. What he needed to know, Kol Torah Kulo, he remembered every single thing. What he didn't need to know, he didn't remember. Rav Belsky, it says in the biography, was Hatzal, when someone would insult him, it was as if they were not speaking to him at all. He did not pay any attention, he did not care. The Gedolim are on a different level, where hurtful words do not affect them at all. But for the Hamon Am, as much as we strive to overcome and to rise over, what you said is correct. Hurtful words stay with us, they linger. Again, people on higher level, perhaps not, because they're molded by Kol Torah Kulo, and their whole Ratzon is to do Ratzon Hashem only. They live in a higher plane. But for many of us, hurtful words last with us for a very long time. And even if you forgive the person, often you always remember what they said. We have to not only daven we shouldn't be on the receiving end, we have to daven we shouldn't be, God forbid, on the giving end. I would rather be on the receiving end than the giving end. So the Midrash is teaching us what it means that Mavis v'chayim b'yadoshan. What does this pasuk from Mishlei mean? Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. So Achilas, which is very cool, we had a short history lesson on who Achilas is. Achilas said there's a implement that has two ends. One is a spoon and one is a sword. It was so convenient for the soldiers on the battlefield because they ate with the spoon and they fought with the sword. But Mavis Mikan, V'chayim Mikan, death from here, life from here. What's the name, Shal? That's our tongue. It's as if it's both a spoon and a knife. Whereas a spoon brings in sustenance to who we are. A knife, obviously, has the power of destruction. How do we use our tongue? Like a spoon, life, or like a knife, death? Second, Bar Sira said something else. There's a coal, C-O-A-L. A person blows on the coal, it ignites the coal. A person spat on the coal, it extinguished the coal. So there's two ways to understand this. The first pshat is if we blow positive life onto somebody else, we will build them up like the coal that's inflamed in a good way. We'll give them heat, warmth, love, light with our complimentary words. But when you spit upon somebody else, the coal was spat upon, it was extinguished, we extinguish the life within, verbal abuse. Marzu sees this a little bit differently. He says the call represents a person who's angry at his fellow. Along comes a third person, and he has a choice. He could either blow on the call and inflame the fires, i.e. make the machlokas worse by egging on the person who's angry with inflammatory words, or he could spit upon the call and extinguish it, quell the machlokas. Two mashalim so far. Amar Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yanai says a different mashal. This is the third mashal. Haya kikar tavul, achlo achlo isro, maves b'yad ashan. This has to do with tithing. Rabbi Yanai said if there was a loaf of bread that had the status of tevel, what is tevel? Tevel is bread that was not yet tithed. Okay? Maisha wasn't taken. Now you're not allowed to eat from this bread. Okay? There's a call on mitzvos of tlias bar. There's maisha, there's truma, there's shvi'is, there's bikurim. There's all kinds of halachos hatluyos ba'aretz. So let's say Rabbi Yanai said there's a loaf of bread and has the status of tevel. Achal ad shelo isro. He ate from the bread. However, it was not tithed. He didn't take ma'isar. Mavas b'yadashon. Death is in the hands of the tongue. Why? Because he now ate something that was also was off limits. He wasn't allowed to eat it. That represents death is in the hand of the tongues. Yisro v'achol, but if he took ma'isar and he ate it, he tithed. Chayim b'yadashon, then life is in the hands of the tongue. He did the halacha. He did what was proper. Article footnote. Tithing is represented by the tongue. Because one typically causes produce to become tithed by designating part of it as truma or maaser. Verbally, the person declares as truma or maaser. So when he verbally makes a declaration on this food, on the status of this food, he now changes the status of the food. Before he took maaser, it's asar, mavas b'yad lashon, death in the hands of the tongue. After he took maaser, it's mutter, chayim b'yad lashon. Okay. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Haishu lefanav kalkala shal te'enim, acha ad shalom isho, mavis b'yad lashon, isho v'acha chayim b'yad lashon. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is very similar to Rabbi Yanai. If he had a basket of figs in front of him, if he ate from it before with tithed, death in the hands of the tongue. If he ate from the figs after his tithe, life in the hands of the tongue. Okay, so these are three mashalim. We have to explain life and death, I should say death and life, in the hands of the tongue. An implement with a spoon on one end and a sword on the other end. That's one. Two, a burning coal. You breathe on it and the coal is inflamed. A person spat upon it and the coal is extinguished. And the third is with tithes. If you have produce that you ate from before was tithed, death is in the hands of the tongue. If you have produce that was eaten from after it was tithed, life is in the hands of the tongue. Okay, now we come to this part of the Medrash I've taught before. I never knew the introduction to the Medrash. Whenever I call this Medrash, I also always just started here. And for this class, I decided to see what the Medrash has to say and what's the introduction. Remember, this is really all from Vayikra Chav Hei. When you sell something to your fellow, purchase something from your fellow, so no ish asamiso, you are not allowed to verbally oppress your fellow. Okay. Now, after teaching us these three parables about life, death, and life in the hands of the tongue, the Midrash now tells us the following story. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Letavi, Avde. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said to Tavi, his servant. By the way, I don't think it's an accident that the servant's name is Tavi. It's the shorish of Tov. Tov means good. Because not only was he a good servant, but he's going to teach us a good lesson. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's servant is named Tavi. And one day, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel sent a servant to the marketplace. Avde. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Tavi Avde. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said to Tavi's servant, Puk Zaveinli, Tse Du Tava Minshaka. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said, go buy me good food from the marketplace. What did Tavi do? Shuka from the shuk. Nafak zavan leilishan. So he came home. Tavi went out. He bought a tongue for his master. Lishan, lashon, a tongue. I don't know if anybody enjoys eating tongue or not. Some people enjoy it very much. It's considered a delicacy. Personally, it's not my taste, but some people do enjoy tongue very much. And Tavi went out to the marketplace. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the master, said, go buy me some good food. Back came Tavi with a tongue. Amar they, the next day, or the next hour, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said to his servant, Puk Zaveinli, Tseidu Bisha Minshaka. Go buy me a bad piece of food from the marketplace, an embarrassing, a decrepit, a not valuable, a not good piece of food from the marketplace. Nafak zavan leilisha. It's the exact same. Look at these two lines. Nafak zavan leilisha. Nafak zavan leilisha. In both cases, he went out and he bought a tongue. The first time, Rishon ben Gamliel said, go buy me good food. Tavi brought a tongue. Rishon ben Gamliel said, go buy me bad food. Tavi brought a tongue. Amar they, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said to Tavi, Ma'u dein dechar? Ana amar lach tzedu tava ad zavan li lishan, v'char ana amar lach tzedu bisha ad zavan li lishan. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said to him, Amar they, he said to him, Ma'u dein dechar? What did you do, Tavi? Ana amar lach, when I said to you, tzedu tava, buy me good food, ad zavan li lishan, he brought me home a tongue. V'char ana amar lach, and then I said to you, tzei debisha, buy me bad food, at zavan li lishan. You also bought me a tank, it's the same food. Remember the spoon, where the menger starts? What's his name? Achilas. Remember Achilas, the brother-in-law of the Caesar. Remember Achilles' parable? It's the same implement. One side is a spoon and the other side is a knife, a sword. So which one is it? Is it good or bad? How could you bring me, sir, but you got me the same piece of meat for both things? When I asked for something good, you brought me tongue. When I asked for something bad, you brought me tongue. Which is it, good or bad? Amarle! Tavi answered with wisdom. Mina tavasa, mina tavta, u mina bishta. The tongue is good, tavta, tov, and the tongue is bad. Kad hava tavles, tava mine. The kad bishles, bishmine. When the tongue is good, there's nothing better. When the tongue is bad, there's nothing worse. Rabbi Asusuda Tamidav. I don't even know what to comment. It's so powerful. Does it need me to comment? When the tongue is good, there's nothing better. When the tongue is bad, there's nothing worse. Medrash then tells us a further maisa. Rabbi Asusuda Tamidav. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi made a feast for his students. Having if named the Shonos Rakim or the Shonos Kashem. He served tongue. So, I don't know, Yantif is coming. Maybe some of you cook a tongue in honor of Yantif. Glaze it, boil, bake, glaze. I don't know, it's like cook like corned beef, I think. I don't know, I never prepared a tongue in my life. I shouldn't say that. I never prepared a cow's tongue to serve in my life. I hope I prepare my own tongue every day of my life. Rabbi Asusuda Tamidav. So first the Madrash brings us three interpretations of Mavas V'chaim B'yad Lashon Vavel Chol Pirya, Akilas and the spoon on one end and the sword on one end, Bar Sira with the coal, you blow on it, you fire it up, you spit on it, it's extinguished, Rabbi Yanai Rabbi Chia Bar Abba with tithing, you eat from produce before it's tithe, death. The from Podus Athert's tithe, life. Then the Medrash tells a story about Shimon ben Gamliel and Tavi. Now the Medrash tells a story about Rabbi. Rabbi Asasuda Tamidav. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi made a feast for his students. He vilif named Lishonos Rakim, Lishonos Kashim. Rabbi brought before them soft tongues, tender soft tongues, Lishonos Kashim. Hard, tough, fibrous tongues. Now, what piece of meat do you want? If you make tongues or not tongues, we daven that the meat we make for Yom Tov should be soft and succulent and should be juicy and falling apart. You don't even need a knife to cut it. It should be so soft. So Rabbi served soft tongue and Rabbi served hard tongue. His chil borim berakim umanichim akashim. So the students didn't want the tough meat. Who wants the alta behemoth meat? Who wants the tough meat? The students start to choose the soft tongues and they leave the harsh tongues. Not harsh, that's not the right word. The hard, the tough tongues. Amar lahem. Rabbi said, "Du'u ma'atem osim. Do you see what you're doing? Know what you are doing. K'shem sha'atem borin es harakim u'manichim es hakashim. Just like you are choosing the soft tongues and you are leaving the hard tongues, the tough tongues. Nobody wants those ones. You want the soft meat. Kach yi l'shonchem rach elu le'elu. This is a lesson," said Rabbi. "Don't just choose the tough, soft tongues to eat and use harsh tongues to expel your words. Just like you're choosing the soft tongues to eat and leaving the harsh tongues. Ma du ma tem osim kishem shatem boren esarakim manichim esakashim kachi lishon chemrach ilu leilu. So too, your tongue should be soft. You should be kind. You should be soft to one another. Lafichach Moshe Masir Sisra Vachisim Krumimimkra. And therefore Moshe warns Israel, when you purchase, when you're involved in a business exchange with your fellow, a person has to be careful not to cause onasvar, not to cause verbal oppression. So we saw the seven causes of Lashon Hara, of Tzaras, in the Gemara, including Tzaras Ayin. We spoke about Oneg and Nega. The difference is where you place your Ayin. One who is a Tzarus Ayin, a stingy eye, a negative eye, will have Nega Tzaras. One who moves the Ayin and who sees everyone in a positive light will have Oneg in life, you will have pleasure. We quote a Kapitel Amidal of Tehillim. The question is, who is life? Who loves life and desires days? And the answer is, he who sees the good. Because one who sees the good, of course, will always speak the good. One who sees the bad, will speak the bad. We went to the Pesukim in Parshas Tazria, and we saw that everything that happens to the Metzorah is a process of Mida Kenega Mida, and a direct consequence of punishment. The way in which you measure others, B'mida Shadam Bodeid, K'mo Dino, the way in which you measure others, he will be measured, he measured and killed, proverbially, he will be distanced from society and he will be killed. And then we did this beautiful Medrash Vayikar Abba, Lam Gima'av. Let's just finish with the Pesukim. I'm going to take you to next week's Sadra, Perek Yudalet. We meet every other week, so we won't be meeting for Parshas Mitzorah, but it really goes hand in hand with Tazria. So this is now, I switch to Perek Yudalet. Perek Yudalet is the beginning of Parshas Mitzorah. Now this guy is ready to be rehabilitated, okay? He has a tzaras, we saw he has to sit. By the Bershama Moshe Leim, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Zos hiya Torah Samitzorah biyam Torah Raso, v'hu v'aval Kohen. This should be the law, the instruction for the Mitzorah on the day of his purification. V'hu v'aval Kohen, he should be brought to the Kohen. V'yatzo Kohen al-michutz ha-machane, v'ra Kohen, v'hinei nir panega tzaras minitzorah. The Kohen goes out to him. Rashi says, look at Rashi on the other side of the screen. Chutz l'shalosh mechanos sh'nishtalach sh'am b'mei chaluto. Where is he sent? The Kohen has to go out to outside of all three camps. Because remember, that's where this guy is. He's outside Machan Eshchiel, the Via Anisho. So the Kohen has to go out to all three camps. The Kohen sees, and behold, the Nega Tzaras is healing from the Tzarua. V'tziva Kohen. The Kohen commands. Now what is done for the process of purification? Just because the tzaras has healed, he's still not allowed back into the camp until he undergoes a process of purification. But tziva kohen, the kohen commands, v'lokach lamitar shtei tziporim chayus tohoros. It is taken for the person who's undergoing purification, two birds, live, pure. Rashi says, prat l'trefos, they can't be trefos. Eitz erez, a stick of cedar wood, ushni so la'as ve'ezov, crimson wool, which is also the word so ask for worm, but Ezov and Hyssop. Rashi says, why does he bring birds? Lafisha negaim by malashin harashu masi pitpute dvarim. You know why he has to bring birds as part of his purification? Live birds. Shteitzi parim chayos. Not shechted birds. Live birds. Lafisha negaim by malashin harashu. So who may say pit pute dvarim? Because the negatzaras comes because of slanderous speech, which is an act of verbal twittering. Laficha chuzkakula taharosot ziporim shemir pat pitin tamid b'tzifsuf kol. Because Lashon Hara comes, because of verbal twittering, he needs to bring for his purification birds that are constantly chirping with the chirping of their voice. Again, the Gemara, Rosh is quoting the Gemara in Erechin, which is actually where we started, Erechin Tazayin. Everything about the Mitzorah, from the punishment to the consequence to the Tahara process, is a reflection of his sin. He brings birds because birds chirp. His sin came because of verbal twittering. He did not know when to keep quiet. Chirping, 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 saying everything he did not need to say. Why does he bring a stick of cedar wood? Eitz Erez, or Rashi says, Lafisha negayim b'im al gasus haruach. If you recall, that's one of the causes in the Gemara and Erechin list as being a cause for tzaras. Because the affliction comes of a haughty spirit. A cedar tree is a tall, proud tree. You should bring a piece of that tree to remind himself that he felt so tall and so proud over others in society, which led to his Lashon Hara. Rishni solas ve'ezov, crimson wool and hyssop, but solas is also the word for worm. Ma takana sovi yisrape, what is his takana? What is his tikkun, his fix, his rectification, so he shall be healed? Yashbil atzma migavah, so he should lower himself down from his haughtiness. We thought you were like a cedar tree. We thought you were so haughty. Gasus ruach gave you right to speak negative about other people. What is your rectification and repair so you will be healed? Lower yourself down from your haughtiness. Yashua asma megav. Also, kisolas, make yourself like a worm. Not make yourself into a worm, unless you're a magician or a kishuf. Make yourself lowly like a worm and lowly like a hyssop. Why? To remind yourself that your sin came because you thought you were so much better than everybody else. One of the birds is shechted, or an earlier when a vessel of living water. Why is the bird shechted? To represent that he murdered somebody else. We shecht one of the birds. It was alive. It was chirping. That mitzora, that Baal Shinhar, killed somebody else with his speech. And what do they do with the other bird? They take the other bird, they tie it up in a bundle with the cedar and the hyssop and the crimson thread. They dip it into the blood of the shechted bird. When you shecht another person with the power of speech, everything that is affected becomes contaminated by the blood of that person that you spilled. Everybody will be affected by the mechlokas that you just caused. They sprinkle upon the teras 7 times from the water blood mixture. And the chirping, twittering bird is sent over the face of the field. What does this represent? The famous pillow mashal. Once your words are cast, like the chirping bird, out into the open field, go try and get them back. They can never be brought back. Once they are sent out into the field, once they are posted online, once it's the shot that's heard around the world, go try and collect your words. One of the birds is shechted to represent the murder. The other bird is sent live, chirping over the field to represent the power of your words. They will fly away in an instant, and they can never be brought back. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said to Teddy, bring me a piece of meat from the market that's very good. He brought him a tongue. He said, bring me a piece of meat from the market that's very bad. He brought him a tongue. So what did he do? When I asked you for good, you brought me a tongue. When I asked you for bad, you brought me a tongue. Teddy said, my master, when the tongue is good, there's nothing better. When the tongue is bad, there's nothing worse. These words should carry us into the Halag Yom Tov of Pesach. What's Chag HaPesach? What's the Leil Seder? Kol Amar B'Lesaper HaRezim Meshubach V'Gadatol B'Bincha B'Yamahu Sipur Yitzia Mitzrayim. We have an opportunity in 2 weeks' time, Be'ezer Hashem, it should be in a rebuilt and redeemed Yerushalayim, to celebrate Chag HaPesach. And we have an inyan to speak a lot. To speak words of Shavach and Odat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shira Chadashot HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to tell about the miracles that God wrought, to tell the generations that are coming that Hashem saved and will always save us, and to use our speech for the positive, to be Mekadei Shem Shemayim Berabim. We must always stay away from the negative of speech. We have to remember, like Shlomo tells us, Mavas Echayim Biyad Lashon Lovel Ocho Piria, death and life are in the hands of the tongue, and those who love her will reap its bounty. Besuras Tovos Yeshua's Bedarach Shadar Motzei Leich Bamolichin. Also, the way which we want to go, Ma'akus Tambi, Hashem will lead us on the path. Thank you for joining. Have a wonderful day.